Welcome to Oz NFTs, NFTs are for everyone podcast.
Every week, we'll bring you Australian artists, collectors, and builders that are paving the way in the Web3 space.
We'll go deep into their stories, how they're reshaping digital culture, and how you can get involved.
We are with the beautiful Danielle in sunny Springvale. And Danielle, you're an artist, an NFT designer, well, an artist overall, a mural painter, a student of the world, an innovator, and quite frankly, a wonderful light to just be sharing time with. You've got three NFT collections. I kind of err away from using the word NFT. You've got three art collections that are on the blockchain, right? And yeah, and you've got some really cool themes across them. You nailed some classic characters with the V-pool. Yeah. And
V-pools.
Elon Musk as Iron Man. Then you moved into like Mike Tyson, this kind of like cartoonized kind of version. And now you've got what we're sitting amongst is Luminary.
Yes.
Beautiful. Thank beautiful work. I mean, you've got a fascinating background. I just kind of like to start, well, how long have you been an artist, and when did you start to foray into the crypto blockchain space?
Yeah, well, thanks for the introduction. That was epic. I've been an artist for about 12 years now. So I started painting consistently when I was 18. I'm nearly 30. So it's been a pretty crazy journey. I mean, I started drawing and painting as a child, and I guess I was pretty hands-on, and it was hard to keep me, I guess, concentrating on anything else that was other than that. And I bought into crypto in 2017. So as much as I had no idea what I was doing, I was just buying random coins and like whatever I heard, I was like, oh, that's me. Put my name on that one. And so I'm grateful that I did, because had I not, I probably wouldn't have, dived headfirst into the Web3 and NFT space. So I was a little bit hesitant when I heard of NFTs. I was like, oh, what's this? This is more tech for me to wrap my head around. I'm not really tech savvy, and everything, you know, from printers to creating a MetaMask wallet is just like incredibly challenging for me. So yeah, to start of 2021, I looked into it, and it's been a wild journey since then. So
that's really cool. So what was it that you were like, okay, I'm an artist, I'm doing this, I'm doing what I love. Mm-hmm. What was it that brought you into the space, that attracted you in?
I think so. It was probably Beeple's moment that stopped a lot of people in their tracks, and I was aware of it, and not turned a blind eye, but I just wasn't quite sure of the impact or how I would fit or be of a fit for me. So I think when I realized, and when I sort of looked into it, and I realized that people were just putting their heart on their sleeve and putting out work that was true to them, and it was a real, really incredible space to just be free and create what I wanted to create. And I hadn't had that yet. I'd been working, you know, and I still am working for clients and ticking off briefs, and I guess being put in a little bit of a box, which I feel like just now I'm getting to this stage where I'm like, nah, I need to be uncomfortable again. I need to sort of break through that. So Web3 space was for that, and I think that's probably what intrigued me, really, is just like, what can I do? And building a community that actually support what you want to put out, not being told what to create.
Cool, yeah. Cool. What was the story, this specific time when you're like, all right, I'm downloading my MetaMask? What was the first NFT or transaction you did?
I think because it was so daunting, I was like, you know what, I need to practice what I preach, and the only way to learn is to do. So I can't even remember what was the first NFT that I bought. I think it was just like a silly like grandpa ape or something, like, oh, yeah, one of those like copy projects, and I was like, that's cool. Yeah. And I bought like a few smaller projects off like artists that I'd spoken to, and then like soon came after the book games and things like that. And which, so yeah, the MetaMask wallet was daunting in itself, and then you've got like book games was on what was it, Token Trove and Immutable, yeah, and then that was like, what?
That even threw me out. I was like, this is not intuitive.
And no, yeah. And I'm like clicking buttons, and I'm just like, I think at that stage I wasn't even like Googling how to do things. I was just like, click, 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 click.
Please work.
Like, you know, I've transferred wrapped ETH into an ETH wallet, so that's gone into the oblivion, and I've done the you know, all of the above.
Yeah, me too. We've all, are you in crypto if you haven't?
No, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, so that was sort of a ripple effect after that MetaMask came to light. Really, it was all downhill from there. Now, it's fine now, but it's fine, yeah.
We've been parabolic.
It's constant, isn't it? Like, yeah.
I think that's a lot of the intimidation in the space for artists, because it's like, I just want to do my art, man, you know? And I'm like, I don't really want to, like, why am I now stressing on how to create an address, or what's a Tezos, or this or that? Do you have any tips for, I guess, we talk about this all the time, but it's like, guys, just do it. Like, it's just a browser plugin or a mobile app. Do you have any like, if you could go back now and you're like, hey, I can just talk to like Danielle just when I was about to get into this, what would you tell yourself?
Good luck. Probably. HODL. No, that look, honestly, I think I would tell myself, just be like, it doesn't matter where you're at in terms of being tech savvy or how much you are wanting to run in the other direction. The only way to learn is to do, and you're only going to grow. Like, you make a few mistakes, jump on YouTube, jump on podcasts, and just ask people. Because I felt so stupid, I didn't ask anyone these questions. And I think we've all learned in this space that no question is a stupid question.
That's right.
And so, the community has grown. So there are more people to sort of call up and say, hey, like, you know, because especially when I transferred 15 grand into an ETH wallet and it was gone. And I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And I was so embarrassed to call anyone, but I was literally sitting right where you are, and it was like 9 p.m. I hadn't had dinner, and I was like, what do I do? Like, what do I actually do? All of your organs just fall out of your body. So just ask people. I think that's, back then I was too scared to ask people to, you know, because it was so new and there wasn't many people around to ask. So I think we've developed enough of beautiful humans around us to be able to put your hand up. And
NFT Melbourne, shout out James Rowdy and Daniel. There are many others as well. You got the Not Essential Boys, you got Oshi Gallery, even the Futurology. We just came from the Futurology Metaverse store, Adam, Mentis, I mean, rattle on. But there is a community of people here that have shared the interest, and essentially they're like, hey, look, this is no exclusive club. We want you to come on and ask those questions. Yeah. Where did you naturally find these kinds of groups of people, or did you find yourself at an event? What was the kind of catalyst here?
I think that's a good question, because someone asked me the other day. I think I saw an event pop up, and I think I went to it on my own, which I would never have usually done.
They talk about comfort zone.
And obviously I've known Max for a long time.
So, and Max, my goodness. Yeah.
So I think, I'm not sure. I think it would have just been like a few people reaching out on Instagram, and then I just started to sort of do podcasts, and that's how and I think just showing up to those events, you've really just like developed this relationship and this rapport and family like vibe.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that was, I can't even remember how I met them, but
they're here.
Everyone just came together, and now like everyone knows each other. And
Yeah, it's sick.
So sick.
So you've moved across, you've made these mistakes, you're learning, you're growing. People are obviously, are you getting people coming to you and sort of saying, hey, and you're now being able to offer that help to them?
Yeah, definitely. And I think when I started putting out my collections, I realized, especially Instagram was such a cold audience, and I was like, okay, I can't just put out these collections. I need to, do little videos. And I spent days and days and weeks filming, what is a MetaMask wallet? How to start a MetaMask wallet?
Oh, cool.
What is minting? What are gas fees and things like that? So I was, filmed a lot of content for that, so I could sort of help more people if they were sort of scared to come and ask. I felt like it was just a little snippet on how to get started. In the DMs and everywhere, I was sort of just sending voice memos. I helped an artist the other day. She was really keen to jump on, and she like pretty much did it herself, which was really cool. But I guess had she not seen, me do it, maybe they don't have the confidence. I'm not sure. But so I'm happy to help, because I know what it was like not having that guidance.
It's cool that you took it upon yourself just to.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Collings, my team that I work with. I'm rolling out these projects. They were big. Well, I didn't really know where to start, and that was their suggestion that that's where we start, and that's how I get comfortable with it too, because I have to start talking about it.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, a lot of it I had to do write scripts, because it's like, even when you know about it, trying to put it like in a succinct way and not ramble on is so hard.
Tell us about it.
Like, 47 minutes later, and it could have been like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, Instagram's tough, hey. Yeah. It's I mean, like, everything is just images. And if you get past someone's interested in the image and they're reading the text, it's like, I need to get you to, this is value. Yeah. I need to hook you. Yeah. I need you to keep you here somehow.
2 seconds to do that.
Yeah. TikTok hasn't made it any easier. Nah. You know, it's like, it's wild. Nah. It's wild. But that's how this is how we're talking and communicating with each other now. Yeah. You know, it's this consumptive model that is like, how do you actually reach the people that you want to be reaching? You know, and is that what you kind of say? It's like, well, look, I'm just going to do this and I'm going to work out the most succinct way I can do it. Yeah. And I'll just put that out. And if someone like an artist comes across and they're interested, they'll find me.
Yeah, I think so. I think what I've learned in terms of that is because I did have all of my eggs in one basket. Predominantly, my following was on Instagram. Yeah. And that's when I realized that I needed to diversify and really try and spread myself evenly. And I was a big believer in like do one thing well and do it properly and not try and do too many things. But especially with a new space like this, I was like, no, I need to be across TikTok. I need to be across Twitter. I need to be across LinkedIn. So I've just spread myself. And of course, the content's different across all platforms, but you're going to reach more people if you are even just sort of mirroring your audience. So LinkedIn, my audience is a little bit different. Yeah. TikTok's different. So I've sort of just been navigating that and putting out content that I feel people can sort of connect to. And even as you said, even if it's one person that has like, oh, okay, she's done that, I can do that, then I feel like you've served that purpose there.
Yeah, it's a bigger net.
Yeah.
You got to throw that out.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's a definitely a really powerful takeaway is kind of get across all the social platforms, get involved.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it
is. Huge job, especially when you're creating content for each different platform.
I spent an hour and a half editing a video and just like did not work this morning. I was like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
Go to another one. Yeah, great. Yeah.
Do you do Twitter spaces?
Yes.
Love. Yeah. Cool. Often.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I try to jump on a few a week.
They're cool. I think
when I'm painting or
nice.
I try to like multitask. Unless I'm speaking, then I need to concentrate. But yeah.
I find it's a lot easier to be on a Twitter space when you're active and doing something because you're not, it's like it's a live podcast. Yeah. You know, and and if you're kind of just too present and just there waiting to talk, you become too engrossed in it. Whereas if you're painting or if you're walking or cooking, I like to do it. I like to be involved when I'm like cooking dinner or something.
It's always like the worst. So when you're driving or something, they like ask you to get on. You're like,
Where's the button?
Where's the button? I can't see anything. Yeah. I wonder how many people have done car accidents. Bloody Twitter
spaces. From Twitter spaces. I was on the DGen's space.
And you made me talk.
Do you think that's a great avenue for interested artists or creatives or anyone, really? It's just kind of hop on a space. Definitely. You don't necessarily have to talk, but you can just be there.
To talk. You can just be there. That's how I did, because I was so terrified to talk.
Oh, my God.
When I first got on spaces. I was like, so like, you can hear it. I didn't breathe. Like, I just like, I was terrified. Yeah. I don't know why. Like, it's so daunting.
Yeah. It's a live podcast. So it's like, it's wild.
It's a phone call with a lot of people. Yeah, right? True. And then you kind of think about, you visualize all those people in a room and then you're public speaking, you're like, fuck.
Yeah, it is. I'm glad it's not just me. That's like, I was terrified.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely something that we've been getting used to. And I think, as we said before off air, like doing the podcast and practicing this sort of stuff, I think is really beneficial. And I think for a lot of artists who might not be super comfortable with like going out and creating this whole other leg of their of their work, like I think it's important to know that you know, everyone's in the same boat and we are pushing ourselves and we are going out of our comfort zones. And if you are interested in getting into Web3 and reaping those rewards and having that, you know, amazing evangelist fan base, it's kind of something that you have to
got to find them.
Exactly. And it's a lot of like, you know, we sort of say we enjoy a lot of it, but it is a lot of energy to put in as well too. And I think where I have had these conversations, I think where people not get it wrong, but they think that you're going to see an instant reward or instant gratification. And I think anything that's so new, if you really believe in it, that won't even be at the forefront of your mind. You'll know it's for the long haul. But I feel like people, when they're not, I'm not seeing anything right now. I think we all of us who are still here in a bear market right now know that it's going to be 5 or 10 years down the track that we'll, you know, perhaps reap some rewards from the beautiful communities that we've built. But a lot of people sort of jump in, they're like, oh, this isn't what I expected, because it is hard work. Anything good, like, is hard work and dedication.
They're looking at it from like a, you're not being paid by the hour here, you're being paid by the value and the effort that you put in. And how can you quantify that? You can't until like that time kind of comes around.
Exactly. Yeah. Cool. So patience is definitely
Patience is key. It's the virtue.
I think it's kind of like, you know, you saw apes and you thought saw everything 10xing, 100xing. And so people just associate that with NFTs, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, so you're an NFT artist, so when are you going to make millions of dollars?
Yeah, rich.
It's like we've dialed it back now.
Yeah.
We're looking at it from a realistic long-term perspective. Cool. And we're looking at giving value, utility, connection through NFTs, and it's an amazing vehicle for that.
Yeah, and we're building too.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's fun. Yeah, it's fun doing it. This is some of the best fun I think I've ever had professionally, but just as a human being.
Absolutely.
You had some fun. What kind of things have you been building lately?
Well, I was before. Well, actually, no. It sort of pushed me into building it. I was building an online course, and I was a bit not lost, but I was sort of like, what do people need? And even just being in this space has made me realize that how much we do crave education and the way that we like want to be educated. It's not just sitting there reading a book. It's like people getting in front of the camera and actually speaking to the camera. So that's helped me build, like this space has helped me build and start building and doing, not the right way, but actually figuring out how I want to build that. And that online platform will be accessible to for any of my NFT holders for free. So basically, you know, business of art, canvases, murals from and also NFT as a creator or as a collector, etc., etc. So it sort of kicked me into gear a little bit to build that. And I mean, just figuring out business and how to give value, I think that's, you know, I sort of got not stuck in this rat race, but the demand to like create all the time. And I was like, oh, I need to create all the time and just pump out all these pieces. And I'm like, well, hang on a second. Like, what am I, as much as I'm producing for people, like what more value can I give on a greater scale? So it's just figuring that out. And I'm still building / figuring that out.
I mean, it's a journey, right? Yeah. We're all sort of working it out.
Yeah.
We've been talking to a few artists and looking at murals and street art and how NFTs can actually sort of coincide with that side of art.
Yeah.
And obviously you've got, how many murals do you think you've got just around the city alone? I mean,
look, a lot of them are in private homes, but with gyms and everything, like, I mean, it'd be anywhere between 50 and 100, like around. Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
And they're also like,
I did like 25 last year or the year before.
Wow. Well, really?
Yeah, if you space that out over 8 years, then we've probably got a few.
That's crazy. Yeah, there's a couple around.
Yeah.
Have you looked into how NFTs can sort of bring those to life?
Yeah, definitely. I think I spoke about this the other day, and I think expanding the lifespan of your art, and you know, you like just paint the mural and you think, oh, that's it, that's all that, you know. But I think repurposing art and extending how far that goes and how many people it reaches, like who's to tell you that you can't take a photo of that mural and then perhaps animate it like Lush Arts did, and you know, there's 11 people that own that animation or that NFT. You can do so much. You'd have a QR code at the mural and people can mint their own from there. You could have different ones or you could have all the same, and people just basically, yeah, like I think the opportunities are endless with that as well. I haven't done it with any of my murals yet. I think I definitely want to. I think I just want to pick sort of what mural that will be. But I mean, that concept inspired me to do what I sort of did with my my recent collection, because there's 121 NFTs, there's 11 artworks, and then there's 11 NFTs of each artwork, and the physicals, as you can see, are different to the NFTs. And I've incorporated animation and physical art. So I think it's just like exploring all of those opportunities.
Yeah, like an extension.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cool.
What's some so you've started to really experiment with this extension of creating a meta world, metaverse, stepping into this digital realm.
Yeah.
What are some of the, I guess, big inspirations for you, and where have you been looking, and what kind of things are you looking for the future in your vision here?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think in this space, I haven't, and I've always done that with my art, because I've sort of bounced around. I don't have a style, so I've always, you know, sort of done what people can connect to and story told through portraiture. I think this last year and sort of playing around with these collections made me really want to get back to where I started and start drawing again and start figuring out, like, you know, maybe I do want to find my own style and my own niche. So that's where I'm at the moment. But I mean, in terms of artists, like, I admire a lot of artists like Beeple and, you know, this Giant Swan in Melbourne and Lambie, and there's some really, like, I admire what they've done in the space and the fact that they've taken that leap, but I don't necessarily follow the work in it because I don't really want to be, like, subconsciously influenced. I sort of want to just go down my own path, and I've always sort of done that with my murals and stuff as well, or it'd be like clients or people talking to people and they give me an idea and stuff like that.
So
more through storytelling really at the moment, but I want to tap into that.
You do that so well.
A bit deeper.
Yeah, can we go a bit deeper there?
Yeah, well, it's a good time to do that, I think. I had a really crazy schedule this year and I took some forced time off and I was just a bit like, oh, I'm getting, you know, I'm a bit flat, like, what's going on? And so I was like, my biggest thing is sit in my shit and figure out what's going on. And I put out that collection, which I thought was like roadblocking me, because, you know, when you've got something that's lingering, I'm like, I need to just launch it. And then I was speaking to someone and he's just like, what do you want? Like, cause I tried to do another collection. He's like, you've just done what you've always done. I'm like, I need this honesty. This is great. And he's like, what do you want? I'm like, I want to feel how I felt when I was younger, when I was trying to figure it all out. And then it was so, like, when I first started painting, I had no idea what I was doing. So I'm going to go back to the basics. I'm going to start drawing again and start literally from where I started and see what comes of it, because I think we need to do that. We get so comfortable, and as I said, I was just like, I can pump out murals, I'm like a bit of a machine like that, I'm like bang bang bang, and then yeah, I feel like you get complacent in running that rat race. So
does it start to become work more than your creative outlet?
That's the thing, I think I need to find that creative outlet again, which the Web3 space has been incredible for, that because I've had so much fun creating and researching and all the key dates and history that I've had to look into, and I love that. But I think I can tap into something else as well.
Cool. So this is part of your creative and artistic process. Mm. Every artist has got their own unique way to get there. Is there anything that you, like, how do you go about, apart from going back to the basics? Is this, do you just like to get in a, like a really empty room? Do you like to go out into nature? Yep. How do you start to align with that?
Travel is definitely a big one for me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, you know, there's holiday and then there's travel, and I think travel can make you really uncomfortable and it makes you sit in your own thoughts.
Yeah.
That was always a huge one for me. Getting in a flow state, so like meditation, and like even when I am painting, is just like trying to like quiet the mind and being, because if I'm like painting and thinking about a million other things, I'm not actually immersed in that piece. Yeah. So that's a huge one, and I probably still can get there, but it's like wavy, like really wavy. I don't have like a solid flow state at the moment. So yeah, like you're speaking to me as it's a work in progress right now.
Yeah, cool.
I don't know, I'll let you know how it goes. It's crazy.
It's the best place to be, right?
Yeah.
I think this is one of the biggest blessings about working with people like yourself and connecting, is because you're just actually watching and envisioning how it's being built through the creative process. And then people have these conversations. This content might be heard by someone else. It's like, oh, wow, like I kind of do that too.
Yeah.
Like I do that with Danielle.
Yeah. Because I think I'm not that I just haven't had I'm calling it a transition phase. I haven't had this in a long time. So I'm like, oh, it got me really down. Like I was really flat for a week. And like I was just said to my partner, I'm like, just let me have a few days. Like I need to have a few days. Felt sorry for myself for a few days and I just pulled myself out and I'm like, okay, let's get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Mm. Sometimes you do. You just need to sit in the shit.
Yeah. You got to sit in your shit. I'm like, if you can't, then you do, like, you can't figure out how to get yourself out of it as well. So yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. What's some of your practices apart from meditation? Do you like going to the gym? You like training?
Yeah.
Keeping.
Yeah. Definitely gym, training, spending a lot of time with family.
Yeah.
A complete and utter obsession though, so it does take up like 95% of my life. Travel, gym, meditation, eating good food, that's definitely sun is a big one for me, vitamin D, just sunshine.
Cool,
thanks Melbourne.
We got it yesterday.
It was beautiful yesterday. Yeah, so I think that's keeping like trying to keep it balanced because it's never really been a thing for me. So
okay, yeah. Can we talk a bit about? Can we talk a bit about your latest collection, Luminary or Luminaire?
Luminary.
So I mean, this has been something on your mind you wanted to get for a while.
Yeah.
It's very portrait orientated.
Yep.
What's going on?
So I've been working on it for a year. And like my first two collections were quite humorous, and I wanted to sort of immortalize some people on the blockchain that was, you know, timeless and from all walks of life. So I wanted to be like a really inclusive collection that basically just inspired people to be better, or, you know, no matter what scale that's on. You know, even if you just go and help someone across the road, like you've done, you know, you've made someone's day better, or you've done great things in the world. So I think... Yeah, Luminary started with Einstein. I mean, Luminary means to inspire, to influence. And I feel like, you know, we can all be faced with adversity in life. And, you know, what differentiates someone who's been faced with, like, all the shit and can still go on to achieve great things. So, yeah, it's basically just to show no matter what you're faced with in life, disease, illness, racial inequality, abuse, it's crazy. Like, I knew what these people had been through, but like when I actually looked into their stories, I'm like, that's insane. To still go on and achieve such greatness in their fields. And look, even Olivia Newton-John, like I obviously painted that piece before she passed away, but I did say, I was just like, I'm not sure if I don't, like I've got this vibe, but I just don't know how well she's doing. Then when she passed away, I was like, oh my God, like it's just... Yeah, it's just crazy because, like, she was just such a positive light no matter – like, she'd fought cancer for 30 years. It's just insane. So I think I wanted to explore that and just see how – I find it so hard to explain my pieces. Like, when someone's like, what does that mean? I'm like, oh, I can paint it, but I actually don't know how to verbalize that and put it into writing. So I think the animations married with the physical artworks was my way of sort of extending that story and sort of being able to connect with people.
Cool. Mm. And your work, I mean, if anyone's looking at your collection, Daniel Weber on Instagram, and you've got a beautiful webpage as well, you've got a lot of inspiration in the hip-hop scene.
Mm.
That kind of culture, yep. You know, you've got like Biggie, we've seen a bit of Frank Ocean in there. was it Tyler the Tupac? Yeah. Did I say Tyler the Creator? Was there a bit of Tyler? No, not yet. I love Tyler.
On the list.
Yeah. Not yet. Sorry.
Not yet.
This is all, you know, this is a subculture, right? It's been really, really impactful in my life. And obviously it sounds like it's had a lot of impact in your life.
Yeah.
Where do you go with that? Like, where did this kind of come from, and what drew you to start painting and exploring these characters and people?
I think the beautiful thing is that a lot of the time, you know, I knew of these people, but I didn't know a lot about their journeys. And so before I went to paint, you know, Biggie, I was like, okay, let's watch some movies. Let's watch some docos. Let's listen to his music and actually listen to the words. So I became, like, I developed a connection with their stories and their journeys more so than, you know, what they sang more the meaning and the depth behind that and their families and what they went through. It's insane. So I'm very fortunate that I was sort of exposed to a lot more, like, I guess, a more diverse music and culture and history and storytelling through the demand from my clients, which I'm sure I would have got there eventually, but it just was, I guess, a different introduction. And then that's where I began to realize that I was like, oh, okay, I really enjoy storytelling because I actually go and I'm inspired by them and then in turn create pieces out of that. So
love that you're bringing that up.
Yeah.
It's something that we've been talking a lot with our clients about and other artists as well. How important do you think storytelling is to an NFT project?
For me, very, very important. I know everyone's different, but I mean, it depends what you want to get out of it. And that's why, you know, a lot of people at the start said, why aren't you doing a PFP project? And I was like, well, because I need my art to mean something. I want to connect to people, whether it's on a humorous level or a powerful level. I can't just put out work that I can't connect to or it doesn't mean anything to me. And that's where storytelling comes in place. You know, people can just look at it and be like, oh, but your work's so commercial. And I'm like, well, it still connects to someone, you know, whether it may not be you, but it might be someone in America or someone over the other side of the world. And I have people messaging me from all different walks of life. So for me, it's very important. I think if you are an artist or if you appreciate creatives, I think it's very important also. I think there also can be storytelling in other ways. It can be through music or it can be through the community that you're building. It doesn't necessarily have to be through every single art piece that's created. I think that's what I will highlight, because sometimes there's more that meets the eye. You might look at artwork, what does that mean? And then you'll hear the story of the founder, or you'll hear the story of why the founder started, and there's always going to be something there. But I do think it's very, very, very important.
I've learned to really dive into that. I wouldn't say I was well educated in the idea of art, and and this, I love storytelling, I love narrative and novels, etc. But working with Rebecca, who we're she's doing an emotional kind of intelligence course, she's using like ceramics and statues. Yeah, she's amazing. It was the idea of art, actually, like you said, well, what does that mean? It's like, well, what does it mean to you? Because it's just evoked emotion. It's just evoked something. Right? So why did you ask yourself that? And it's cool. Like, what? It's those questions that create interest and curiosity, and that's what story is, and that's how we've kind of shared information for our entire species, right? Like, it's how we do it, especially with our indigenous kind of brothers and sisters. It's just been like, that is the idea of place and sense of self. Where do you like to take your stories? And in terms of, where do you like to take your stories?
As in like, where am I going? Or
Where do you see the vision for your story?
I think for me, during my journey, I've learned that my story is also my purpose. And through that, through my journey, which is my story, you know, hey, receive that however you like, my purpose has become, or I see my purpose in inspiring other creatives to do what they love, or even just people in general finding a path that they truly love. And I think that serves a greater purpose in mental health, in, you know, in relationships, in them being able to achieve greatness as well. And in people finding their purpose as well, because if you're doing something you love, you generally do find that purpose in that. So I think seeing the impact that me just giving it a go, even in this space or even over the past 10 years, people say, how did you do murals? I'm like, I just went and did it and I fucked up 10 times over and over and over and over again. And excuse my French, but that's really the only way to explain it. And I think, I think now my story, I see my story moving into the future, just being able to make an impact, which will be the online course, and continue to mentor and help. And just be that little glimmer of light, because I didn't have that. It was, you know, I said today, like, it's been a lonely journey as a creative. I don't feel alone because of the support that I have, but it has been a lonely journey. And yeah, if I can help a few other creatives along the way just to see that they can do it, then that's become pretty big me. So that hopefully will be my story.
That's amazing. It's cool that your goal is, you know, education and sort of helping others and mentorship. We're quite focused on education as well, and we're sort of challenging ourselves to go and speak to members of the public that are not crypto native and don't really understand what NFTs are, what crypto is. It's all very overwhelming, why it matters. We're just at the Metaverse store and talking to A-Ray about, you know, what happens when people walk in and they don't know what's going on, and, you know, they see all these crazy like NFTs and, you know, Metaverse. And she says, yeah, like the reactions are mixed. It's it's crazy. But I think it's really important. You know, you're on the front lines there and, you know, sort of helping to get people to understand so that they can make informed decisions.
Of
course. It's not about bringing everyone in. If it's good for you.
Shifting that collective unconsciousness, which was really cool. Because the future belongs to... She was awesome, honestly.
Yeah, she's very cool.
So the future belongs to everyone. And, you know, our... Sorry to...
No, go.
But it was like... Everyone is like looking at the metaverse as a projection of what they've consumed through media and novels, right? Whether it's like sci-fi, it's like this dystopian kind of future. We're all like plugged in via Neuralink. And it's like, maybe, but that's the only framework that you've been looking at. And then collectively, when you're connecting with people like yourself, you're connecting with like A-Ray and everyone else in the scene. It's like, hey, you're flipping the script a little bit through your education and the content.
Changing the narrative.
Changing the narrative. I think that's awesome. And you being a mentor and just being like, well, you know, like I'm not here for the millions, but I'd like to just be a bit of a glimmer of light.
Yeah.
And just show some kind of opportunity.
And I say, and I'm like, honestly put my hand up. I'm like, I'm definitely not the best artist out there. Like, you know, cause they're like, I'm like, no, like there's a million better artists out there, but I'm like doing my best. That's really all you can, you know, and not saying that the next, you know, Picasso or whatever that, but like as long as you are making an impact on whatever, and that's similar to Luminary, like whatever scale that is at,
yeah,
like if you're making impact and you're doing, like what more can you ask?
Completely agree, completely agree.
Yeah.
Dialing back to education, talking to people, mentorship, we're trying to have these conversations with people and sort of from the ground up, mm-hmm. get them understanding what's going on. How would you explain an NFT to your grandma?
Fuck, I saw this question the other day and I was laughing because I couldn't hear what they were saying. And I'm like, such a good question. I would say, oh God.
Visualize it.
I'm visualizing it. I'm saying, okay, Nonna. English isn't your first language, so I'm sorry in advance.
Can you say it in Italian?
No. No. I just say, so you know how I have my paintings. Man, she doesn't even have a phone. Like, how do you?
Yeah.
She doesn't
even
have a mobile.
What does she have that she could relate to?
So, you know how you see things that you like on TV that you value, but I might not value, that you would perhaps buy even though you can't hold them, or you would, yes. Yeah, your lotto tickets. Technically, you're not actually getting anything from that. Like, you don't know. So, well, that's what an NFT is. You can have music, or you can have photography. Shit, I don't even know where I'm going. That's really hard. What would you say?
It's a toughie.
Yeah.
I would say that it's a... What did Ray Ray say? She said it's a tracker of your digital assets.
I reckon I would lose her at tracker.
Yeah, that's true. Rowdy had a good one. He said that it's like your spoons. It's like the spoons that you collect.
Yes.
Except the digital.
Yes, the spoons.
Right? They love their spoons.
You know the spoons that we used to fight over as a kid that now like we collect?
Mm.
That one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a collectible.
All your shit you put in the glory box?
Yeah.
Collectible, even though that's not really a collectible. You're just too stubborn to use it. But that's a good one. Yeah. I think there's the generations. I think if my Nonna had a mobile phone, I'd be so much more confident in like approaching that. Like my partner's grandma, she's so advanced, both of them actually. And so I'd feel so much more confident. Whereas like when you're like, okay, you don't. It's crazy, isn't it?
It's hard with the Nonnas. Yeah. It's hard. They're different.
I'd probably have to use food as an example somewhere along the line too.
I just want to weave that into my head. Yeah.
Food and wine.
Yeah. It's the key to any heart.
Oh, shit. That's funny.
What are the kind of things that you'd like to start seeing from the industry and you'd like to start kind of focusing on? I mean, we've kind of touched on where you're going as an artist, but what would you like to see from the industry? And I'm only bringing that up from the context of these CCOs, IP, people starting to have these conversations like, well, I don't really like want to give the artist royalties. I'd rather just swap it and trade it. And it's like, you're missing the point, champ. And that point has been created by kind of, I guess, less than savory kind of founders who just pump out collections and just feed off the royalties there and after. What kind of world would you like to see?
I think the royalties are really important. So I'd definitely agree with you there. I think because that's artists have not seen that ever before. So I think in terms of like commercial rights and, you know, I won't speak too much on that because I can't really say that for the collections that I put out now, but perhaps ones that are true to myself and really just an extension of my craft and not incorporating iconic people. I think that's where I would be giving commercial rights because I wouldn't have any issue with the copyright and things like that. So moving forward, I think that's something that's really cool. I really want to see artists, you know, I've worked for 10 years to develop really good relationships with brands and corporations and clients. And I'd really like to sort of be able to connect my audience to, you know, I've worked with Nike, I've worked with Converse, I've worked with Telstra. I'd really, really love to see artists connecting their community with these brands that we've worked for over 10 years to really develop those relationships. So I think that'd be cool. And also just building, like, I think the education as well. Like, I think people need to get comfortable with sort of saying, like, for me, it was daunting to be able to learn and create at the same time and put out content that's both is a lot. But I think if we sort of normalize us coming to the forefront and being like, this is how you also do it, I'm not just creating, I think that's really cool. I think we need to see that more. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on AI art? Have you played with it at all? Is it something that's scary? Is it something that's exciting?
AI, like augmented reality?
Artificial intelligence.
No, I haven't played with it. I've done, I really want to try VR and I've dabbled in augmented, but artificial, I have not at all. No. Okay. I haven't even heard of that.
Yeah.
Or have I? Maybe I have.
Computer generated.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Like, you can type in pink elephant dancing.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah.
But then obviously, like, it gets very technical. Yep. And so you can really start to play with different settings and different contexts. And
that'd be wild.
It's pretty cool because
there was an artist, won that competition. And it was like a digital renaissance. They'd combined, like, I think it was like the setting was like Da Vinci kind of era. But then it was like they had this like opening of like worlds with Fibonacci spirals and stuff. Anyway.
That's
it was crazy. We'll send it to you afterwards and we'll pin it in the in the link. But the guy who did it won an art competition and artists were pissed.
Oh.
Because he was like submitted it along artists' work. And it was the detail and the, you know, the repetition of the pattern. It was like, well, this is not impossible, but, you know, and it kind of opened up like, well, you know, you brought up a really good point. It's like, is it the same thing as the advent of the digital camera? You're like, well,
I think it is, but then I think, you know, a painting and a camera and a photo probably shouldn't be compared completely, you know?
Yeah.
So I think maybe there just needs to be separate. Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that I think it's definitely amazing. You know, some people who aren't technically skilled or don't have the ability to do those sorts of things, I think.
Just different. They're just diverse, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It can give people, you know, you said it yesterday, it was like that sort of, you have that image in your mind, and that's what art is, right? You have an image in your mind and you put out a frame of it.
Yeah.
You have the ability now to do that.
Oh, yeah, GT. Yeah, it was mentioned.
It was GT,
that.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's very
cool.
That's
very
really
cool.
It was. It was like
before, like most of the time we have ideas in our heads, but we just can't communicate them. So
exactly. So now it gives every single person on the planet the ability to do that.
Yep.
I mean, there is criticism that it's not accessible in other languages, only English, but it's early iterations. I haven't dived deep into it, but it's early iterations.
I'd love to look into it more.
Yeah, we'll send it to you afterwards. We like to ask a couple of like curveball questions as we kind of come to the end.
Ooh.
Yeah. We're in a space where we're pretty open. There's a lot of support for mental health, mental well-being.
And are you okay day today?
And it's are you okay day today. So I thought, Danielle, what's something that you love about yourself?
I love that I'm a tornado.
Yeah. Powerful.
I just like walk in and it's just like, woo, like, yeah, yeah.
Cool.
I wouldn't have it any other way, as much as other people can't handle it. It's fine. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. I love that. It's that self-love. It's so important, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Very cool. What tips do you have or what advice do you have for artists that are sort of looking curious about the NFT space, not really sure about it? You know, they've got friends who have been burnt. We're in a bear market at the moment. You know, it's a bit of a scary place. What are your tips if they're interested in getting started, but not sure if they should. I'm not sure if they know how to.
I would say, look, I did things a bit backwards. I started my collections before I even knew what was going on. So I'd say don't do that, especially in a risky market like this. I'd say start investing your time into education. So listening to, jumping on Twitter spaces, you don't have to talk, joining a community and just sort of watching what they do and how they navigate the space. Podcasts. I listen to podcast after podcast, and you know, Gary Vee, as much as we all feel like he's screaming at us at the best of times, I think he's a good one to just sort of like cut out the shit and get through to you. And definitely, yeah, just watching YouTube videos as well. I think it's a good way to start before you sort of invest creatively if you are an artist or whatever that may be. And you know, it's not a couple of hours a week. I think I spent like 30 or 40 hours a week last year, really, just and don't be perturbed, like if you think that you know it and then someone says something and you have no idea. Because like you just said AI, I was like, what's that?
Yeah. It doesn't even matter. You know, we've just learned so much.
Exactly. So I think the best way to start. And just education and not dive in like me and like, I'm going to do this collection. I have no idea what this space means. But I think to figure out where or how you want to make an imprint and be true to your craft if you sort of get to that stage as well.
Cool. Are you on Tezos as well, or do you just do Ethereum? Have you dived into other kind of blockchains?
Yeah, I mean, I've only launched mine on Ethereum.
Yep.
Controversially, like my fave coin is Cardano. I answered a like questionnaire the other day and someone in my Discord was like, what? And I was like, oh shit. I knew this was gonna come up. In terms of my I feel like I can't comment on this because it's just so hard. I just don't know at this stage.
They're like different countries. Exactly. You know, the Cardano country, you like the people there?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of weird. They're pretty cool.
Some cool people in that space. So, look, honestly, everyone that I've come across, you know, whether there's some I don't get on the like, oh, Ripple all the way, or like Cardano all the way. Like, I'm sort of like a bit of a neutral game player.
The Switzerland.
Yeah.
Cool.
I am Swiss, so that makes sense.
Swiss and Italian.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, Danielle, thank you so much for joining us on NFTs Are For Everyone. You're such a blessing and you are doing some incredible work. We can't wait to see what happens with Luminary.
Thanks for coming here.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Thanks.
We're really looking forward to following your journey and keeping in touch. And if you come up to Sydney, we'll definitely connect again.
Tornado will be coming
through. Tornado, yeah. Tear it up the coastline.
Tear down the roof or to blow up the... Yeah, I don't know.
Turn
whatever.
It up.
Yeah. Whatever I need to do.
Create a smash room, you know.
I love it. Yes. Done. Nah, thank you. Cool. Invitations always open here.
Cool. We appreciate you. Keep building. Keep doing the good work.
You too.
Awesome. Thank you.
Amazing.
Awesome.
Thank you.